have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Good friends, Charlie Murdoch. Hi, I'm Dr. Jerry Green. Welcome to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. We have an awesome show lined up for you tonight as the Bishop tackles kingdom issues and current events. But first, let's receive First Lady Sharon Richard with her faithful financial moments. Good evening, First Lady.
Good evening, Jerry. This is Sharon Richard with your faithful financing moment. It's tax season, that time of year when we must all complete a tax return. Many will have to make a tax payment because their tax return will indicate that they have underpaid their taxes. Others will get a check from the government because they overpay taxes during the year. You are probably happy if you are getting a substantial tax refund. However, bear in mind that this means that you allow the government to hold your money without the benefit of earning interest for the past year. This also means that you didn't have this money in your hands to help with other financial responsibilities. So if you are getting a refund, you should take this time to consider whether it is necessary to make adjustments to your income tax withholding assumptions as provided to your employer. Of course, this year may be an exception if you got the benefit of some unexpected or non-recurring deductions. Still, you should evaluate whether it makes sense to increase your number of exemptions claimed throughout the year. If you are getting a substantial refund, after tithing, consider putting these unexpected funds towards savings goals or paying off high-interest credit cards. Notice that even on your tax refund, I suggest that you tithe. For most, getting the refund comes as a financial blessing, so why not honor God by recognizing first the source of your blessing? On the other hand, if you owe a substantial sum of money, you should assess whether to decrease your number of exemptions claimed during the year. If owing this money is a surprise, unfortunately, this may require you to pull funds from savings in order to pay it without penalties or interest. If you do not have the money, you should seek to negotiate a payment plan with the IRS. The worst thing you can do is to leave it to the IRS to put a lien against your earnings. This will negatively affect your credit report and lessen your ability to manage your hard-earned money, as they will determine the amount you are allowed to take home after they take what is owed from your check up front each pay period. I don't think anyone, except perhaps tax professionals, enjoys completing tax returns, and no one wants to owe money when they are completed. The best place to be is to owe very little or to have a small refund. This will allow you to maximize use of your financial resources towards savings goals or other financial responsibilities throughout the year. Although not enjoyable, tax planning is an important part of sound financial management. This is Sharon Richard with your faithful financing moment. Taylor with your gospel news, followed by Open Mic with the Bishop with your host, Bishop Ernest E. Richard, Jr.
How you doing, everybody? I'm Nina Taylor with this week's gospel news. As a longtime member of the Williams Brothers, the gospel group founded in 1960 by their father, Leon Pop Williams, Melvin Williams is also known for his solo releases. The Mississippi native made his solo debut in 1988 with Back to the Cross, for which he wrote most of the material with his siblings. The album peaked at number 6 on Billboard's gospel charts. Williams' later solo releases were issued on BlackBerry, the label founded with his younger brother Doug. Among them were Never Seen Your Face, issued in 1998, and Crazy Like Love, and Love Like Crazy, both of which were issued on the same day in 2007. In 2017, he released Where I Started From. Melvin Williams' work has been acknowledged with many Grammy nominations and Stellar Awards. Doug Williams is a contemporary gospel singer, songwriter, and producer from a longtime Billboard charting musical family. He began professionally as a young child in the late 1950s with what would become the Williams Brothers. Doug and his brothers Leonard Melvin, and their cousin Henry Green, formed the group The Williams Brothers. They released over 40 albums and were inducted into the International Gospel Music Hall of Fame. As a solo artist, Doug Williams found critical and commercial success from his very first album in 1995, Heart Songs, released by his family's Blackberry Records. He was nominated for Best Contemporary R&B Gospel Album at the next year's Grammys and made it to the top 20 of the Billboard Gospel Albums chart. He also found ongoing work as a producer on albums by gospel artists including, but not limited to, the Mighty Clouds of Joy, the Jackson Southerners, and Willie Norwood. In 1997, he released an album called Duets with his brother Melvin and a second solo album, When Mercy Found Me, followed in 1999. They both hit the U.S. gospel charts. Duets 2 arrived in 2004, and a live album, simply entitled Live, was issued in 2009. In the meantime, Williams continued to work behind the scenes in the gospel industry, contributing to songs, production, and performances to other artists' albums and running his family's record label. In late 2015, the passionate ballad All of Me appeared on the album Crossover, which was released in mid-2016. And after 28 years of heading the label, Grammy Award-winning Doug Williams is officially retired from his role as president and CEO of Blackberry Records. That went into effect back in 2019. Doug Williams will continue his involvement in the music industry. He still has passion for singing and songwriting and producing. The Southern gospel group, the Williams Brothers, alternatively known as the Little Williams Brothers and the Sensational Williams Brothers, again founded in 1960 in Smithdale, Mississippi, inspired by fellow gospel groups like the Dixie Hummingbirds and the Mighty Clouds of Joy. It was 1974, and the album was called What's Wrong with People Today. Throughout the 80s, the group released albums for record labels like Savoy, Myrrh, and Malico. 1985's Blessed, which hit number one. In 1992, the group founded Blackberry Records. From the early 1990s and throughout the mid-2010s, they released over two dozen albums and maintained their presence on the gospel charts with releases like 1994's chart-topping Grammy Award-nominated In This Place, in 2003's Still Here, and 2009's Grammy-nominated The Journey Continues. Their work has been rewarded with almost 20 stellar awards and numerous nominations for Dove Awards. Together and individually, they've collaborated with the likes of The Winans, Stevie Wonder, Rance Allen, and John P. Key. In 2017, they returned to the studio for the album Timeless, which featured the hit single What God Does. Congratulations to gospel recording artist Tyus Showers, who recently married. Here's this week's top 10 gospel songs. Number 10, You've Been Good to Me, Zacardi Cortez. 9, Finished, Tamela Mann. 8, I Still Have You, Smokey Norville. 7, Here Comes the Joy, Dietrich Haddon. 6, Goodness of God, C.C. Winans. 5, Lord I Hear You, Lucinda Moore. 4, Thankful, J.J. Harrison. 3, Your World, Jonathan McReynolds. Number 2, Call on the Name by Marcus Jordan. And our new number 1 song up from number 3 is Ty Trippett with New. Well, that's your top 10 songs and your gospel news. I'm Nina Taylor. Let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station. Hello, I'm Nina Taylor. Welcome to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. This show tackles kingdom issues and current events from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Bishop and Company for today's discussion. Good evening, Bishop.
And good evening to you, Nina Taylor, and also to my wonderful wife, Sister Sharon Richard. I want to say, first of all, before we begin, happy birthday to First Lady Sharon Richard. I know it's been something of an amazing day. We bless God for you coming today, and I pray that she's still here with us. She's been, for the last so many years, I ain't going to give her age away, but for the last so many years, she's been a blessing, and God has blessed her to be here. Well, good evening to you, and also to you. This is the Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. And as always, I want to take time to say hello to my newest co-host. She's coming along nicely, like well-tailored suit. She fits right in. So let me start with you. Good evening to you, Pastor Anna Henderson. How are you, my dear friend? Bless your heart.
Amen. Good evening, Bishop. Amen. And for listening audience, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I am so glad to be a part on tonight. Looking forward to the discussion. We have a great discussion tonight, continuing with the power, amen, of a seed. Amen. And so we are so excited about tonight.
All right. Let me say hello also to my dear engineer who's been with me for the last 8+ years, and amazing how you can meet somebody through social close relationship. Dr. Kimmy Robinson, I ask you to please open your mic and just address the audience at this time. How are you this evening?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm so trying to act like I know what I'm doing, but don't you tell nobody. I don't want to let the cat out of the bag.
Oh, you know what you're doing.
Yeah, well, so glad that we can be here today. And I do have to say, without you, this show would not even exist. So I so appreciate all that you do for each and every one of us. Now, there are others I've invited, and I'm going to find out who else is with us. Let me start here. Sister Glenda Johnson, have you made it on this evening? I'm going to try to eliminate all that dead air. Y'all know how I feel about dead air. Me and dead air ain't got no place. Sister Glenda Johnson going again. I'm thinking she did not make it. All right. How about Apostle Faye August? Have you made it? God bless you. All right. Doesn't sound like we have Apostle Faye August either. Looks like it's just the three of us. Well, let me say this. Is there anybody else on the line that intends to be part of our discussion tonight? If so, would you please state your name, where you're from, and if you have a church affiliation? Going once, going twice, and I do believe we can consider it gone. Nonetheless, we're going to move forward. I know we do have, all right, I hear you. Who do we have there? Bless the Lord.
This is Sister G. Johnson.
Okay. There you are. Nice to have you with us today. God bless you. Thank you so much for being part of our podcast for tonight. We're going to go ahead and we're going to get started. I'm going to pray us in. Pastor Henderson, would you please get our scripture ready? And I'm going to let you have sort of kind of the opening dissertation. So let me begin by praying. Precious Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the entrance of your word. We thank you for the power of your word. We bless you, Father God, for all that we are doing. And before I finish praying, if you're not talking, mute your mic, because we hear a lot of background noise. We want to eliminate background noise, if you don't mind. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for just being with us, Father God. We love you for who you are. God, we've come together today to discuss your word, to put together that which you have given to each and every one of us. Lord God, I ask that you open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy word. God, we bind the hand of the adversary, anything that may try to hinder, block, stop, or cause the progress of this particular program to come to a halt. God, we stop it now. We plead the blood over these airwaves. And we ask that your spirit would go forth. Angels of the Lord that's been assigned to us, go forth and dispel every force of darkness that may try to disrupt or deceive or take away from that which the Lord shall plant into our spirits. We put this entire service into your charge and into your care. We thank you now in advance for doing it, for it's in the mighty, matchless, majestic name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do pray. Amen and amen. Pastor Henderson, if you will, the scripture and our opening dissertation, please.
Amen. This week we will be looking at Matthew, the 13th chapter, and we're going to begin with verse 3. And it says, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung forth because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and a 30-fold. Who has ears, let him hear. Amen. On last week, we looked at Mark, the 4th chapter, which records, amen, the similar story and the parable of the sower and the seed. And amen. And we started talking last week about that ground. And in the parable, it talks about the one who sows the seed, and then it talks about the different grounds in which the seed, amen, was planted. Amen. And we left off with the question of what soil are you? The topic is the power of a seed. And we know that God instituted the process of sowing and reaping, and that we know that it's power in the seed to reproduce, and that seed has the ability to reproduce after its time. And so when we look at the different, we talked about the different types of soil, and the Bible talks about the one that fell by the path, the one that fell on rocky ground, the one that fell away by the thorns, and then the good ground. And so when we talk about that, it relates to our relationship with Christ. And so today we're going to continue to look at, amen, how that seed is scattered. We're going to talk a little bit about how we can cultivate our life as that good ground in Christ Jesus. And we're just going to open up the discussion tonight. We want you to get involved in the discussion because it's really a good discussion. And what this parable does is that it causes us to do self-examination of our life and our faith walk in our journey with Christ, to examine where do we really stand. I mean, are we just doing church, or are we really in a committed relationship with the Lord that allows our heart to be good ground for the Word of God? So we're going to go forth in our discussion tonight. Bishop, we're going to put it in your hands, and then we'll jump right in.
My goodness, we can just close it down now because you done put it down in a nutshell. Hey! Beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And I so appreciate you putting it out there. And yes, it does consider our relationship. There are many people who, and let's take these four parcels of ground. The first one talks about something that the sower scattering seed. I mean, it doesn't say anything about the preparation of the ground. It doesn't say anything about cultivating the ground or getting the ground ready to receive the seed. There's a lot of times we will turn around, and I want y'all, and including you, Dr. Robinson, to jump in as God places something in your spirit. G. Johnson, I need you to do the same thing. But, you know, we don't make preparation for things that God has. How many of us have asked God and prayed to God and asked God for certain things, and, you know, we're waiting for these things to happen? You know, we turn around and we call ourselves planting seed, and we just scatter. There is no hope. The ground's not been prepared. We've made no preparation to receive or even plant seed that God has placed in our spirit. We have to understand. And this one thing, that in the process of seed being sown, the ground itself has to be prepared. We don't want to get to the good ground just yet. We'll get to that in just a minute. But let's talk about that first parcel of ground where the seed was just scattered. Nothing's done to the ground. There's no fallow ground broken up. There's no preparation made. You just throw it out there. God, I want 1,000,000 oil wells. Well, you're just talking idle words because there's no faith. First and foremost, you've got to understand that in order for you to put your ground in good position to where the seed can be properly planted, and anybody that knows anything about farming, I'm not an expert on farming, and I'm not going to pretend like I'm an expert on farming because I am not. What I am is one who understands biblical principle when it comes down to farming. I do recognize that the farmer's got to come and turn that soil over, and then he has to put certain nutrients into that soil to enrich that soil, to give that seed its absolute best chance to grow. We turn around when we speak a word over our life and we pray and even ask God for certain things. The very first thing that we do is we plant, fertilize the ground. What do I mean by fertilizing the ground? A, number one, it's going to take faith to help fertilize that ground. It's going to take hope to help fertilize that ground. It's going to take love to help fertilize that ground. It's going to take expectation to help fertilize that ground. And if we don't have those four elements in any seed that we plant, there's no real hope of any type of plant or crop coming up. There's no real hope of a harvest taking place. And so what happens next is that farmer now plows that land, and he digs a 3 to 6 inch trench so that the seed can be properly planted. What am I trying to say? We've got to root and ground ourselves in the Word of God if we are intending at any point of time to allow the Holy Spirit to work with us, to work through us, to use us for His glory. My dear sisters, I put this on the table, and I present to you for the individual that's scattering seed, what is the expectation of that individual scattering seed? And then by the evidence I just presented to you, can he actually expect to receive any level of harvest? Come on and talk to me, either one of you. Dr. Kimmy, where you at? Where you at, Pastor? Where you at, Sister G. Johnson? Talk to a brother. Let me know.
When I think about scattering, you're so right on, amen, as far as the preparation, because that ground for the seed to be able to cultivate and grow healthily, that preparation is so much needed. And I think so often, as you so well said it, is that we just throw seed out, and then we don't make any preparation for the harvest. It's like we make a confession, Lord, I believe you're going to do this, but we don't water it with our faith, and we don't turn it over, amen, with our praise. And we don't keep that, you know, even research has found that even when we talk to our seed and we talk, amen, to plants, that there is a level of growth process that happens in our speaking. And I think so much so, you know, there's a parallel in the natural and the spiritual, because I really believe that when we put the Word of God in our mouth and we begin to speak over our seed and begin to confess God's word, when he says about it, it helps to nurture that soil of our heart. So I think that's all a part of that preparation too, and then just giving God praise. And you said something and made me think about the preparation. That means that we have to be intentional. We have to have intention that we're going to cultivate our heart. We're going to cultivate our faith. We're going to keep on believing, keep on letting the word turn over in us so that our faith can grow. That would help to bring that seed to pass. So it's an intentional process in that preparation, wouldn't you say?
I would say so.
Amen.
Mr. G. Johnson, what do you come up with?
I don't have anything.
Oh, Lord, that's not a
anything.
Good answer.
I think she said it well.
Dr. Kimmy, anything you want to add, Dr. Kimmy?
I can't come behind that. She's done everything. I'm enjoying this food. So, I mean, yeah. It's a great discussion, I think. I'm not coming behind that.
You, ladies, I'll be honest with you, and I bless God for your honest answers. And, yes, she did say a lot, but at the same time, she made it so very clear and so evident for each and every one of us that God wants to do a work in each and every one of us. God wants to share something with us, open us up, and take us somewhere. The main thing is this. What does your planting look like? Are you just throwing stuff out there for the sake of throwing it out there? Some of us want God to bless us with, I'm just going to use material things for the moment, just for the moment. Cars, houses, bank accounts, and things of that nature. What are we doing? What are we doing to make that preparation and put that in place? Are we literally taking the time to break up the fallow ground? Is there something that could actually end up being a hindrance to you or a blockage to you or a stoppage to your progress in the thing? See, the one thing I know about God is he honors his word. And when we put him in remembrance of what he said in his word, that alone gives us an advantage to be able to plant on good ground. So my question now is, when we ask God to do these things in our lives, how much do we expect God to do? How far do we expect God to go? I mean, the Bible says he does exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or even think. And I'm one that believes that wholeheartedly, that God has a mastered, not just a master, a mastered plan for our growth process. Does anybody believe that patience should be part of that growth process? Is there anybody that believes that we should learn how to, quote-unquote, wait on the Lord? And when I say wait on the Lord, I mean, you know, waiting on the Lord, sometimes it entails our being in service, excuse me, while God is preparing and getting us set and ready for whatever it is he wants us to get ready for. Does that make sense to anybody, or am I just talking just because I got a mouth? I just need to know, y'all. Come on and talk to me.
Absolutely.
Well, talk to me. Give me some reasoning, and I'm trying to get you to just reason with me. Let's talk about this thing for a minute. We got too many folks that want too many things, but they're not willing to do what's needed and or necessary. Excuse me. My voice is trying to leave me today. Too many things needed and or necessary to put us in a position, the best possible position, mind you, for our Father in heaven to work with us. The next ground that we can look at, so we realize we can't just scatter, because to scatter is to aimlessly put something out there with no real expectation. When you really think about it, you just throw seed out there for the sake of throwing it out there. You've got no expectation of a harvest. First of all, there's no prepared ground. There's no ground prepared, ready to receive. You've got it on top of the soil. It's not buried in the soil. The scripture says in John 12, and I think we used this a couple of weeks ago, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. Let's digress on that just for a minute. First and foremost, we have to understand that that particular passage of Scripture really is talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it also is bringing to light a biblical principle when we talk about seed time and harvest. And what it's bringing to light is there has to be a burying of the seed. We said this last week, so I'm just going to reiterate what I said last week. There has to be a decomposing of the seed. In other words, when you're looking at that kernel of corn on the surface before you ever plant it into the ground, that little yellow kernel of corn doesn't look like it's going to do much of anything about anything. How do you get an 8 to 10-foot stalk with about 8 to 10, as many as 12 ears of corn on that stalk from a single seed? See, the power of the seed is you do not know the full potential of that seed until you put yourself in a position where you have allowed yourself to be buried. Many of us got talents, we got gifts, and we've got things that God has, and skills that God has placed within us that never really come to the surface because we never really allowed the Holy Spirit to germinate or to bring forth those talents, those gifts, and those skills. We're satisfied being in that one spot. We're like that person with the one talent, and many of us try to hide that one talent as if it was something that, you know, God's going to be ticked off with us if we turn around and use it. I mean, I got to say this. We got there in the secular world who are flourishing and prospering. The Bible says in Romans 11:29 that the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. They will never be taken away. God is the actual giver of the gift. God is the one that gave you the gift. And so God wants you to take what he has given you and multiply it and turn around and use it, number one, for his glory, number two, for your benefit, and last but by no means least, the benefit of other people. So looking at that one kernel of corn, don't underestimate the power that God has placed in you, the potential that God has placed in you, the ability that God has placed in you. Am I making sense to anybody?
Yes. That's real good. That's real good because we're cultivators of that seed. And you know, when you were talking earlier, I thought about, you said, what can you do even in the preparation process? The Bible says faith without works is dead. And sometimes we throw it out there, but then we don't water it with our faith. And so we got to do something. Sometimes we put a position, you know, petition before, but we don't do anything. We don't have no expectation. We're not looking for it. We're not imagining it. But we got to begin to see that thing even before it's even seen. Amen. There's a work that we have to do in the process. And I think when we begin to work with them, because God wants a partnership with us. And so as we do our part, God's going to do his part, and then the seed is going to do its part, and it's going to bring forth that harvest. So we have a work to do. It's our role to play, amen, to do something, amen, to extend our faith out there. And we're the cultivators of our heart.
Well, anybody got anything else they want to share on that? Because you have to really see this whole thing for what it is. I mean, you know, I know we're talking about our human lives. We're talking about the gifts, talents, and abilities that God has given us. Now, let me ask you this, because we were doing something in Bible study for Power to Stand, and we were talking about the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives, and we were on the subject of discovering our gifts. You know, one of the things you have to understand is when seed is covered with prayer, when it's covered with love, when it's covered with faith, when it's covered with expectation, when it's covered with desire, we have now put it in a great position to where it has every potential. Now, there are some obstacles that can possibly get in the way of that seed. That analogy I used about the kernel of the corn, that kernel can be planted into ground, but there are insects underground waiting to chew that seed up. There are obstacles like rocks and sticks and all kinds of debris. And this is why the farmer had to prepare that ground. That rough ground that was not prepared was dry, it was hot, there were no nutrients. There was no moisture. There was nothing on that dry ground where the seed was scattered, and there was no opportunity for that seed to grow. So what does the seed do? It lays on the ground, and eventually the fowl of the air, meaning the worries, the cares, and the concerns of this life will come and eat your seed up. Put you in a position where, you know, it's almost like you go to the bank and you put $10 in the bank. You don't put enough in to cover your bank fees. You don't put enough to cover any interest fees or penalties that may incur. And then the next time you go back thinking you're going to take $10 out, you find out you're overdrawn by $5. It's the same base principle. So how do you know? And I mean, primarily, beloved, and all we're trying to make sure that anybody listening to us understands is that when you make the investment to plant seed, allow the Holy Spirit to give you every able and available opportunity for you to move forward. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Dr. Kimmy, where you at? You got anything you want to add to us here? There.
I'm going back and forth with the screen. It's hard. Basically, faith is a action word, and so it's amazing what the seed. What's the seed? It's the smallest seed ever, and when you plant it, it creates abundance. So when you have that mustard seed faith, God can do wonders, and we must continue on believing in him and allow him to direct our path, and he will come through.
Yes, he will. Now, see, I am just elated for the fact that you brought up the mustard seed because, I mean, that's the smallest seed, like you said, and it's the one seed, the size of the plant that this mustard seed, the herb bush that this mustard seed produces. You know, I am amazed at what, if God can do that with mustard seed, what makes us think he's not able to do that with us? Think about that.
Come on.
If you can take that and you know, the mustard seed is like a dot in the middle of the fingernail of your pinky finger. Now, if you look at your pinky finger, just put a dot in the middle of that pinky finger. And then that thing can grow. I mean, I can't really explain to you how big the mustard seed plant grows. It grows extremely bushy. Not bushy, bushy. Okay, I'm getting real deep now. The bottom line is it's a large plant. And one of the best herb plants that we know about. From that, we get the mustard that many of us enjoy for our hot dogs, hamburgers, and whatever else you like mustard on. But my point to you today, ladies, is the very fact that God is able, according to Ephesians 3:20, to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think. God just requires us to do one thing, three things, really. He requires us to have the faith of God. We talked about this last week in Mark 11:23-24. Having the faith of God means that the potential that God has placed in you has the capacity to come to the surface for you. And what that simply means is the very fact that if you've got the faith of God, spiritually speaking, if you allow yourself to be used the way God wants you to use you, God made us in his image and in his likeness. And if God used faith to recreate the world, why can't we use the faith that God has given us or manifest whatever it is we have in our life? All you have to understand is this, and if you look at verse 24 on Mark 11, verse 24 tells the whole story. It says, if thou shalt say unto this mountain, and the mountain is a representation of a problem, of worry, care, anything that could possibly get in your way, anything that could possibly cause you to falter, anything that could cause you to fail, anything that has the ability to impede your progress. If thou shalt say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, look at this, and shall not doubt in thy heart that what thou sayest shall come to pass. The Bible says it.
Amen.
Now, I gotta back up. And shall not doubt. Shall not doubt. What is doubt? Doubt is those insects trying to eat your seed. Doubt are those rocks that get in the way for your seed to stretch its root and go deep. Doubt is the debris that may be underground that you cannot see. Doubt is a cancer when it comes to the manifestation of God's word in your life. Doubt and unbelief are the biggest killers of dreams, of aspirations. Doubt and belief will cause you to stop pursuing the goals that God has given you. Doubt and unbelief will cause you to stand right where you are. And while the world passes you by, you sit there, I can't get nothing done. No, shut up. Get rid of the doubt. Get rid of the unbelief. Lose it. That's like gaining weight that you never intended. Now, ladies, no disrespect to you. Which one of y'all want to be fat and, like, out of obese and out of shape, weighing 600 pounds? None of you. So what are you going to do? You're going to do a proper diet. Here's a proper diet. Cut the fat. Here's the fat. Cut the doubt. Cut the unbelief. Get rid of it. If it were going to do you any good, God would have included it in the process. It's a killer. It is a killer. Y'all, come on. Talk to me a little bit. Go ahead. Somebody's about to say something.
Go ahead, Dr. Kim.
Right, go ahead, Dr. Kim.
I was just saying that faith without work is dead. So when you truly have faith, you're going to have to work in. I really believe you must put in the work, because you're telling your daddy, your heavenly father, through Jesus Christ, that you believe on him. And so, you must follow the word and not people. I'd rather obey God than man. So that's why I've been really studying my Bible, you know, because I'm seeing the time, you know, the time is happening, the end of time. There's a lot going on.
Well, I will tell you honestly, and I agree with you, faith without works is dead, being alone. Too many people try to walk in faith or want to make you believe they are walking in faith. And the truth of the matter is, it's not a question or a challenge of their faith. That is not the issue at all. The issue is them putting some action to the faith that they say they have. That's really the challenge when you stop and think about it.
Right.
you know? So we have to challenge our own faith. We have to put our own faith to the challenge and trust the God of our salvation to take us where we need to be. Lord, I'm telling you, we have to allow God to work in him. Now, as usual, my dear sister, Pastor Henderson, I'm going to place this temporarily into your charge. I've got to make a quick transition, and I'm going to mute myself while I make this transition. So take us on in. We're going to come right back. We got just a few minutes, and whenever you feel like you need to end it, you do it if I don't get back. The Lord bless you. Ladies, thank you for joining us today. I'm going to be right back. Go ahead, Doctor. I mean, Pastor Henderson.
Thank you, Vincent. Amen. So this is such a good discussion, talking about the power of that seed, and we thank the Lord for those comments that we heard earlier. Amen. And I was just thinking about that in relationship to this parable, how it relates to our Christian walk individually. And so each one of us have a harvest, each one of us have a soil, which is our heart that seed grows on. And so as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about the responsibility that we have to nourish and to nurture our relationship in Christ so that our heart does become good ground. I heard some good things about Dr. Kim and Kim saying about faith without works is dead. So we got to put some work, amen, to our faith. And as we heard the bishop say, that means some action to it. And see, the seed that fell by the pathway, it lacked understanding. So the seed was sown, but there was a lack of understanding. And I think it's so important that we have an understanding of the Word of God and we have an understanding of who we are. Because when we don't understand who we are, then the enemy comes and steals our seed away from us. Amen, because we don't recognize that we are a child of God and we allow other things to come in and tell us about our situation. Let's say, for example, you're believing God for something, but now you don't have a full understanding that you have a total right to these things. And so the enemy comes and says, it's not going to happen for you. Well, it didn't happen to sister so-and-so, and it didn't happen for brother so-and-so. And so now doubt comes in, and then that fear comes in. And so now you're not believing for the thing that you started out believing for, and the enemy comes and robs that seed. Rob that word away. Can anyone relate to that in a situation perhaps that you were believing God for something and then something got in the way and robbed that seed of that faith, of that word that you were believing God for, and then maybe some kind of way maybe you got it back? But have you ever experienced a situation like that you would like to share tonight?
I can't think of anything recently.
Okay. I'm thinking about sometimes I hear people say, you know, well, I was trusting God to do this for me, and then they get discouraged because it didn't happen when they thought it was going to happen. I had someone not too long ago says, well, I don't think prayer works. You know, and I think because they had gotten discouraged because what they were looking for to happen didn't happen. And then on top of that, the enemy was just piling other trials and other tests. And so, but then later as time went on, they came back and they said, you know, I think I was just distressed because they didn't see happening. But that's how quick the birds can come and steal your faith, because you didn't see it happen when you thought it was going to happen, and the Lord didn't answer the way you thought he was going to answer, and then that quick the birds start eating your faith and you start eating that seed, and no longer are you believing God for what you thought, you know, you were holding on to. No longer is it there, because now it fell by the wayside. It's so important that when we believe God, that we keep believing God, that we don't allow doubt, as I heard, and we don't allow fear, and we don't allow these things to come and rob the seed of God's word. And that's why it's important, as Bishop was saying about waiting, that patience is so important, to wait on the Lord, because he that will come shall come. It may not come when you want him, but he'll be right on time, and you just stand there in faith and keep on believing God. Yeah. Don't allow the circumstances of life to steal the seed of the word out of your life. And that's what happens when you don't have deep roots, and they grow on in that just on that top soil. The birds come and eat it up, and then the sun comes and scorches it up, and now you don't have anything to stand on, because the power is in the seed. The power is in the word. And when your word gets stripped out of your heart, you don't have nothing else to stand on but fear and doubt. And so that's why we got to hide this word in our hearts. We got to let this word go deep down in our heart and let it stay there. Amen. And then let that word be established there. And what that means, once it gets established, it gets some roots. That means you're permanently stationed, mm-hmm. and no matter what comes, you tell your situation, I'm not moving because I believe God. I don't see it today, but I believe God. Your roots just keep getting deeper right. and deeper because you're not moving anywhere, and that's when you know your soil is mm-hmm. good ground because you don't keep deep roots in God. And so it's so important that we watch that we're not scattering seed just on the surface, and we don't have an understanding, amen, of who we are and whose we are. Because when you know who and whose you are, you know what you're entitled to. Amen. The word is alive. And then it talks about that parable, talks about that rocky ground. You know, when it's planted on rocky ground, how it doesn't also have roots, but then the persecution comes, amen, and causes, amen, the seed not to take the root that it should because it doesn't have the ground and the soil that's rich and healthy enough to bring that seed to pass. Can anyone think about some things that maybe have gotten in the way that you could think of in your life that maybe has caused rocky ground to make that seed not be as deep as it should have been or could have been, maybe in dealing with a test or a trial?
Go ahead.
Dr. Kimmy Kim?
Oh, I was just saying, not at this time, but I'm ready to hear Sister G.
All right.
All I was going to say is that, one of the things that we have to remember is that God's timing is not our timing. You know, His timetable is different from ours. Yes, we want it now. You know, like the commercials mm-hmm. say, I want my money, I want it now. You know, mm-hmm. and that's where the patience come in. If the patience is not there, that's when we have to pray to God, say, give me patience. Give me patience to patience to wait on you, you know, because, like you said, it may not happen when you want it. As you said, it'll happen right on time. Amen?
Amen. Amen. That's so true. Mm-hmm. It happens right on time. And see, when that heart is hard, your faith is shallow. So you like, Lord, if you don't mm-hmm. do it now, you know, well, mm-hmm. I'm going to trust mm-hmm. you like a little kid who's stubborn or, you know, mm-hmm. you know, just want his way. Mm-hmm. If I can't get what I want, then I don't want it at all. Well, that means your faith is shallow because faith waits. Faith believes. Faith, it becomes established amen. When you just keep on believing that word. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
It's dangerous
yes. not to wait. You know, there was a situation and I'm just bringing an analogy that happened that I knew happened when I was in New Jersey. And there was a gentleman that went and played the picket for the pick six uh-huh. or whatever you want to call it. So this mm-hmm. this man was so determined that he was going to get this picket. So he invested all of his money. Savings, mm-hmm. I mean, everything in there, because he had no doubt in his mind that he, one way or the other, if he put all this in, that he was going to get the reward of mm-hmm. whatever they were, you know, I don't know, millions of dollars, whatever the case was. And so what was he going by? He was going by his own understanding, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, talk to me. Was he going on it? So when he didn't win and when he failed and it didn't come through, you know what he did?
Mm-mm.
He killed himself and his whole family.
Wow.
Mm-mm.
What a tragedy. What a tragedy.
Yes.
You know, but he was believing in his own, I guess, fate or whatever. He wasn't, you know, and he just knew that, hey, if I put it all in, I know I'm going to win this thing. But there was nowhere God was in that at all, period. So then when this came crashing down, he was devastated. And he took, mm-hmm. you know, I guess he felt like, well, the family is not going to have nothing because I done spent my whole life saving. It's just such a tragedy how people, you know, they go away from God. They don't trust in God. I was talking to someone the other day, and they were mm-hmm. talking about how they wanted some type of house or whatever it was. And they would like, they said, oh, well, maybe if I hit the lottery, I'll get it. You know what I told them? I said, you are the lottery. You are, you know, you already have what is within you. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You looking at the lottery of this man, you got it in you. Amen. That's all I want to say.
Amen.
But you know what? You just described the ground. You just described the ground where the seed had been planted, and then the root came up, and then the sun came and dried that root because there was no water to it. We put all our eggs in the wrong basket sometimes. Thank you so much for bringing that up. We put our eggs in the wrong basket sometimes, and we think it's God. You know, and I'm going to say this, you know, and I've got to say it this way, and whoever's listening, please hear what's being said. There's a principle that goes to work.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, if we say the word casino, what word comes up? Gambling. Think about it. But yet still, we will condemn somebody for going to the casino, but we won't say anything about their IRA or their portfolio or their 401K. Most of us take our 401Ks, we put so much in the aggressives, so much in the moderates, and then so much in the conservatives. Now, the conservatives are the safest of the three. The moderates, you're taking a small chance, but you're doing baby steps. But the aggressives, you are going all in. And there is the possibility of you losing what you have earned over the last few years. Now, the reason why I bring all that up is here's the principle. Gambling in and of itself is not the sin. Gambling has the ability to produce that actually becomes sinful. I'll say that one more time because somebody might have missed that. Gambling itself is not the sin. Gambling can be a weight, but it's not the sin. It is what gambling can push you forward to do that actually can become sinful. I'll give you a great example. You paid all your, you paid your tithe, you paid all your bills. You go out for entertainment, so you decide to fly off to the casino with $150. All right, you win $2,000. You're excited, you're elated. Now, the enemy is using that win to say, oh, you can go back and do that again. You can double what you got. So you need maybe $1,000 home, and you take $1,000 with you, and you go the next day, and nothing happens. You're mad. But now in the back of your mind, say, oh, man, you almost got it. You almost got it. And so you decide to take $500 more and go back. Now you're not gaining. You are losing. Instead of being prudent and being grateful for what you got, you're trying to increase the little that you have left. The sinful part is you go from money that might have been available because of what you won. Now you're digging in your rent money. Now you're digging in your light bill money. Now you're digging in your car note money. You're digging in places where you should not be digging, and before you know it, your backside is your butt out. I'm going to use the word butt out. I ain't going to use the donkey word, but you are behind out. Why? Because gambling. And I brought all that up to say this. Many of us put our eggs in one basket, and then we see some type of produce. We see some level of production. And now we're going to try to increase that production, but we're not doing it by the means by which biblical principle has allowed us, the patience, the waiting on the Lord, the allowing the Holy Spirit to live and work in and through us. We are now in a position where we are about to go down, go under, lose out, be at a loss, be, you know, be at a disadvantage. That is not the will of God for any one of our lives. You know, often you often hear the scripture read, I believe it's in Hebrews, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us. The weights are those things like gambling, like I said, and things that fall under that line that have the ability to pull you down and to cause you to lose out. Now, we already understand what the sins are, so we need not even get into that discussion. Long story short, ladies, the bottom line is there is power in your seed. And whether you use that seed for your benefit or to your disadvantage, there is still ability, there is still might, strength, and power in that seed. And all God wants you to do is to be wise in your decisions, not to make ridiculously stupid choices or put yourself in a position where God has put you in a position to be blessed, and you end up in a position where, you know, you miss out on the blessing. Any last words before we close today's show? This is a very good discussion, and we're going to continue it again on next week. Anybody with anything that they want to share that might have come to mind or something we need to be made aware of?
Awesome.
Well, I just want to say,
go ahead.
Okay, I just want to make this statement, and it's pertaining to what we were just saying. I have a client who works at a casino, and he said that that place is packed every day. I said, so apparently somebody got money. These people are spending $37,000, all this. I said, really? This kind of money? So going into a recession, which they claim, these people, we thinking that people are broke and busted and disgusted, but for a casino to be packed every day, from what he's telling me, because he works there, then somebody got some money somewhere. Amen. But that's all I want to say. That's a little bit off subject, but amen.
No, that's dead on the subject. Nowhere near a little bit off. It's dead on. Go ahead. Anybody else?
That the Kim
Kim
did you? I think she was saying.
No, I was just
ahead.
Saying. Amen. We're discussing. I didn't have anything else.
Okay.
Amen. And the power of the seed, the God's word is alive. And it has the supernatural ability to change your life. When we put that word in our heart and speak it out of our mouth, it has the supernatural ability to produce a harvest in your life. So if your life is not producing the desired results, I declare if you put God's word in your heart and trust him and obey him, believe him, your life can change overnight by the power of the seed that's in the living, reproductive system of the word of God. It is alive, and it has quickening power to change your life.
Well, listen, we thank everybody for joining tonight's show. We thank you for your comments and for everything that you brought up. I need you guys to know that tomorrow on the prayer line at 12 noon, Pastor Cynthia Tazewell is going to share a word with us. We have our prayer line every Monday through Friday right here. That number is 701-801-9814. Once again, 701-801-9814. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. The blessing of the Lord be upon each and every one of you. Dr. Kimmy Robinson, please get that track ready as I am going to sign off at this present point in time, but I'm going to give Pastor Henderson the final say and the benediction. Love you with the love of the Lord. We look forward to seeing you on next Thursday at 10 p.m. on Open Mic with the Bishop. Pastor Henderson, it's in your hands.
Bless you, Bishop. Amen. We thank and praise God for each one of you that have joined us. Amen. The listening audience. Amen. We thank God. Amen. For each and every one of you, we pray that you would join us on next week for another exciting topic that will change your life. We pray something was said tonight, amen, to take you to another level in God. Amen. Let's examine our hearts and let's be that good ground because God wants to do great and mighty things in your life. We pray that you be blessed the remainder of this week. May the Lord bless you and keep you is our prayer. Amen. We say thank you, Sister G. Johnson, Dr. Kimmy Kim, amen, and all of our listening audience. Be blessed, and we say shalom, shalom. Dr. Kimmy Kim, it's in your home.
You've been listening to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. If this podcast has been a blessing to you, then please consider sowing into this ministry. A $20 gift or more would be appreciated. You can do so through Cash App. Just use $ power to stand or on PayPal, Pritchard719@gmail.com. On behalf of Bishop Richard and the Open Mic panel, I'm Nina Taylor saying have a blessed week. We'll see you soon.